Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the collapse of FTX, the cryptocurrency exchange founded and led by Sam Bankman-Fried that went into Chapter 11 bankruptcy in November 2022. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Kevin O'Leary. Now, Kevin O'Leary is a businessman and TV personality in the USA. He appears on a show called Shark Tank, where entrepreneurs pitch their ideas to a group of venture capitalists who decide whether or not they want to invest and support that business. And Kevin O'Leary is one of the highest profile members of the team. He's very popular, and he has a self-imposed nickname of Mr. Wonderful. Now, Kevin O'Leary was involved with FTX as a paid ambassador. So he was hired by Sam Bankman-Fried to represent the business and to talk about how great FTX is. Now, if you've been following the channel, you'll know that Sam Bankman-Fried hired a variety of celebrities to promote FTX, including Tom Brady and his wife at the time, Giselle, who's an international supermodel, Steph Curry, Shaq O'Neal, and Larry David. However, all of these people are simply celebrities, so there's no confusion in terms of the way that they were promoting the brand. But Kevin O'Leary is very different because he's an investor. He's known as being a really shrewd businessman. So when he comes out and talks about a company like FTX, it sends a slightly confusing message to people because they don't know whether or not he's saying it because he's being paid or whether he just thinks it's a fantastic business. So this is a slightly grey area. And Kevin O'Leary has been included in the class action lawsuits that have been filed against FTX. So in today's video, we'll have a quick look at Kevin O'Leary's background. And then we'll go through a variety of interviews that he's given recently. And we'll talk about the fact that Kevin O'Leary originally wrote off crypto as being garbage, something that he didn't want to invest into. He then took on the position of being a paid spokesman for FTX. And all of a sudden, he became an advocate of crypto, started investing and talking in positive language about it. So we'll go through the details of how much he was paid by FTX, the official reason why he changed his mind on investing into crypto. We'll look at the due diligence that he undertook before making his investments. We'll then hear about his relationship with Sam Bankman-Fried post-arrest and his position on crypto today. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summaries to why I think there's an issue with regards to Kevin O'Leary's relationship with FTX and why he's avoiding the big question that everybody should be asking him. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can skip through things. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I really appreciate it. Kevin O'Leary was born on the 9th of July 1954, and this page from his website says that the combination of Kevin's mother's family heritage as merchants and his father's Irish charisma truly meant that O'Leary was born for business. Rather amusingly, his website also says, "You can call me Mr. Wonderful," which is his self-imposed nickname that he started using on TV shows. O'Leary is a Canadian citizen and studied environmental studies and psychology at the University of Waterloo before going on to complete an MBA in entrepreneurship at the University of Western Ontario. He started his working career with an internship at Nabisco in Toronto before founding an independent television production company with two of his former MBA classmates. The company achieved limited success, and after selling his shares, he founded a software business called SoftKey with two business partners. Over the next 13 years, SoftKey became a major consolidator in the educational software market, and in 1995 acquired another business called The Learning Company for $606 million, and following this acquisition, the company adopted this name. The Learning Company was subsequently acquired by Mattel in 1999 for $4.2 billion, making Kevin O'Leary a seriously wealthy man. Following the sale of his business, O'Leary started investing into other companies, and in 2006 was invited to join a CBC show in Canada called Dragon's Den, where five wealthy businessmen listened to pitches from entrepreneurs for investment in their businesses. O'Leary had a blunt and abrasive style on the show that occasionally made the entrepreneurs cry. However, he proved popular with viewers and in 2009 was signed for the US version of the show called Shark Tank. And it was on this show that he started using his self-imposed nickname of Mr. Wonderful. Shark Tank has proved to be highly popular and established Kevin O'Leary as a celebrity in the USA and worldwide. In 2017, O'Leary announced his intention to run for the presidency of Canada and entered the race to be the leader of the Conservative Party. Despite being a frontrunner in the polls, he later dropped out of the race due to lack of support from Quebec. So we'll start Kevin O'Leary's story about the rumour that he referred to crypto as garbage. Is this true? Well, let's hear from him himself.
I want to understand how you went from calling crypto garbage at one point, as you know, to deciding that this was something that you were going to stand behind.
Yes, I recall that conversation, calling it garbage, right here on this show in 2017. That was a time when a New York hotel was being tokenized here, and I was looking at that, and the regulator let me know they were not happy with that idea. And that's when I stepped away from this, because clearly the regulatory environment was not prepared.
So Kevin O'Leary did refer to crypto as garbage. And in that explanation, he said that he pulled out of a deal because the regulator said that it was not supportive. Now, this would indicate that the regulator later became supportive of the crypto markets. But as you'll know, if you follow the channel, there is no regulation in crypto. So there's no justification in that explanation as to why he changed his mind. So maybe there was another reason that persuaded Kevin O'Leary to start liking crypto.
Entered into an agreement with FTX to be a paid spokesperson. I was paid approximately $15 million for these services, plus approximately $3 million to cover the portion of taxes due.
So Kevin O'Leary was paid $18 million by FTX to be an ambassador and an advocate for the business. So obviously this was the main driver and reason behind his change of heart as to why he no longer believed crypto to be garbage. And I think what's interesting from the clip that we've just seen is that of the $18 million that he was paid, he said that $3 million of it was to cover taxes, but that left a flat $15 million for him to take.
I put about $9.7 million into crypto. I think that's what I've lost. It's all at zero. I don't know because my account got scraped a couple of weeks ago. All the data, all the coins, everything. So then I lost the money I invested in the equity as well. Those are zeros too. It was not a good investment, Andrew, okay? I don't make great investments all the time. Luckily, I make more good ones than bad ones, but that was a bad one.
Now, out of that $15 million, $1 million was invested into FTX equity, and then $9.7 million was invested into a variety of cryptocurrencies. And we believe that that money was invested through the FTX platform, and all of that money will have been seized as part of the Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So 9.7 plus 1 is 10.7. So out of the $15 million, he has still cleared $4.3 million in profits. So even if he does lose all of his 9.7 and his million of equity, he still made a huge amount of money from being an ambassador for FTX. And I think what's really interesting here is that he's a paid representative. He took money from Sam Bankman-Fried to promote FTX, and he made a large amount of profit doing so. So the big question that everybody is asking is, why did Kevin O'Leary, as an experienced investor and a businessman, support Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX? So let's hear the reason directly from the horse's mouth.
I felt that getting involved when I was approached with Sam Bankman-Fried, that I could get an inside seat on what was considered then. And I got to tell you, the institutional interest in FTX on the U.S. equity was unbelievable. The amount of people that approached me saying, how do I get a piece of this deal? And I said at that time, I am a paid spokesperson. I cannot bring you as an LP.
So basically what he's just said is that there was a feeding frenzy. Everybody was desperate to get involved with FTX. So there was a herd mentality. Everybody wanted to get on board. But if you're an experienced businessman, that is not a reason to invest in anything. If you look back in history, people have lost serious amounts of money every time there's some form of gold rush. Anytime that you hear about something being the next big thing and everybody needs to get on board, there is a bubble that forms and that bubble will burst at some point. And that's exactly what's happened with crypto over the course of the last 18 months or so. So that is no justification whatsoever for an experienced investor like Kevin O'Leary to say that he wanted to get involved with FTX because everybody else did. Now, in addition to the fever and excitement around crypto that was building from investors, Kevin O'Leary has also justified his involvement with FTX as a result of what was happening in business schools.
You know, I guest lecture a lot in many colleges and universities, and what I started to see happen, and a lot of these are graduating cohorts of engineering classes where about a third of them are going to be entrepreneurial. That's why I do this. And I slowly started to see that the majority of the class
the ones that were really great coders wanted to go work on blockchain. And at the same time, the regulatory environment was changing. It was getting more open in jurisdictions like Canada, Switzerland, United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi, et cetera. So it occurred to me as an investor, you can't put this much intellectual capital to work and not expect incredible outcomes. And so the hottest hands over keyboards today work on the blockchain and crypto technologies. And that's as a result, I've become an investor. When things change, I change. I'm a fiduciary. I have to go and decide where to put capital to work. And certainly I look for new opportunities. This is like being able to invest in the internet in the early, early days.
So he's basically saying that all of the smartest guys in all of the business schools wanted to get into crypto. And that's one of the reasons that he wanted to invest into it. But this is a circular argument, because if all of the money is moving to the crypto markets, if all of the investors are throwing hundreds of millions of dollars, and in fact, billions of dollars into the crypto markets, then obviously that's going to attract all of these individuals, because they can set up their own fund and receive in huge amounts of investment and become very wealthy overnight. That doesn't mean that it's a good long-term business model. He should be talking about fundamentals as to why he believes that crypto is the future of payments, why it's better than the existing banking systems. They're the fundamental reasons that you should be investing into a market, not because a load of business school graduates fancy working to make a quick buck. That's absolutely the last reason that you should be putting any money into something. So in terms of due diligence, you would expect that an experienced investor and businessman such as Kevin O'Leary did a huge amount of due diligence. He should have been looking into the absolute detail to make sure that the business that he was promoting to other people was sound and didn't have any major problems. So let's hear what due diligence he undertook.
When you made this arrangement, this is back in August 10th, 2021,
yeah.
You said the following. You said to find crypto investment opportunities that met my own rigorous standards, that was your phrase, of compliance, I entered into this relationship with FTX. It has some of the best crypto exchange offerings I've seen on the market.
Yes.
Given that you are were the spokesman and ambassador for this company,
yes, because
what kind of diligence did you do around this issue of compliance? Given where we sit
well,
today.
I obviously know all the institutional investors in this deal. We all look like idiots. Let's put that on the table, okay? We relied on each other's due diligence, but we also relied on another investment theme that I felt drove a lot of interest in FTX. Sam Bankman-Fried is an American. His parents are American compliance lawyers. There were no other American large exchanges to invest in. If you wanted to invest in crypto as an infrastructure play. So many of us said, wait a second, who's coming to this deal? We knew, for example,
this sounds
that
like,
Iger.
This sounds like groupthink. There was no CFO?
Look, at the end of the day, to say that there was no CFO is also a bit of a falsehood. This was a nascent industry with a disruptor at its helm, creating positions that didn't have traditional names, okay? That's just the way it was. In retrospect, yes, it's a mistake.
Well, I have to say, wow. This is my favorite interview out of all of them that I've seen from Kevin O'Leary. The best quote that he gave there was, "We all look like idiots," and he's absolutely right on that front. But in terms of some of the answers that he actually gave there, he said that the due diligence that they did, they all relied on each other's due diligence. So basically that means that nobody did any due diligence, because if you're relying on the other guys to do the due diligence and they're relying upon you to do the due diligence, then who's doing the due diligence? And as we know with hindsight, there was absolutely no due diligence done, because there was no record keeping at FTX. There was no process in place. There were no restrictions in terms of the Alameda exposure. If anybody had done any due diligence, they would have been able to find out these facts really quickly. And it's absolutely incredible that there was no chief finance officer, no CFO for a company that was valued at $32 billion. And when Kevin O'Leary was asked that question just then, he glossed over it. He said, oh, that's not actually true, but he didn't give an explanation as to why there wasn't a formal CFO in place. But I think what's most astounding of all, out of all of the comments that he just made, was that the reason that he was happy to promote FTX and invest into it was because it was an American business. And at one point, he actually referred to Sam Bankman-Fried's parents. Now, the implication of this is that because FTX was American, therefore, it was trustworthy. Everybody could feel comfortable putting huge amounts of capital into it because it was based in the USA and it had a guy from the USA running it. And obviously, as things have turned out, that was absolutely no guarantee that everything would be fine at FTX. It's actually turned out to potentially be one of the biggest frauds in American history. So basing your faith and reliance on the fact that the company and the founder are both American is complete nonsense. So Kevin O'Leary was obviously close to Sam Bankman-Fried throughout the period that he was promoting the business. But what's his relationship with Sam Bankman-Fried today?
Bankman-Fried reached out to me last Saturday. And I said, look, Sam, I am just one investor, but my account has a zero in it, and there are no accounting records. Where did the money go? And to the extent you can help me, tell me, point me in the direction, because I will, on behalf of every other shareholder, go find where this money is. The next day we talked for over an hour, and he walked me through his scenario, and I learned a lot.
What did you learn?
I learned, first of all, I said, what was the large drawdown of your capital? Where did the cash go? One of the biggest uses of cash was to buy back his shares from Binance, which owns 20% of his exchange. And the reason he had to do that, according to him, was that every time they applied for a license anywhere, the Know Your Client got jammed up with Binance, where the ownership is opaque, and he had to buy it back. That cost him a lot. Couple of billion dollars.
So it's clear from this that Kevin O'Leary is giving the benefit of the doubt to Sam Bankman-Fried. He's still talking to him, and Kevin O'Leary is trying to find out where all of the money went to. Now, I think this is a really interesting part of the story because Kevin O'Leary was paid to be an ambassador for the company. He was paid to promote FTX, to sell everybody what a great business it was, to try to encourage people to either use the platform or to invest into the business. And if you look at all of the other celebrities that were paid for that sort of position, they've all distance themselves entirely from FTX. They don't want anything to do with it. But because Kevin O'Leary is an investor and a businessman, he's now pivoted and is trying to find answers as to what happened with the money. And he's passing on information from Sam Bankman-Fried, who's claiming that Binance were constantly taking money out of the business. But I think we're actually getting off the issue here because Kevin O'Leary was promoting FTX and therefore he should be distancing himself entirely and not trying to be involved and talking about what Sam Bankman-Fried says happened to all of the cash. So given everything we know now, would Kevin O'Leary work with Sam Bankman-Fried again? Well, let's hear from him.
Now, Kevin, you defended Sam Bankman-Fried after FTX's collapse, and you even said that you would back him again if he came to you with another opportunity. Why is that, and has his arrest changed your thinking there?
Well, I said that before there was any allegations of all of these nefarious activities, but my point is for the last 15 years, I have often invested in entrepreneurs that have experienced catastrophic failures, and I will continue to do that. Now, regarding Sam Bankman-Fried, he has to clear his name. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Nobody does. Clearly, he's been charged, and we're beginning of a legal process. Obviously, I can't invest in that. But my point is, entrepreneurs learn from catastrophic failure. And for the ones that are able to come out the other end alive, they're better off for it.
So prior to the arrest, Kevin O'Leary said that he definitely would work with Sam Bankman-Fried again. He's now saying that he needs to clear his name before he would continue that relationship. But I think Kevin O'Leary is missing the point here. FTX was a complete shambles. John Ray, who took over as chief executive to manage the bankruptcy, has said that this company is worse than Enron. And Enron is the biggest failure in US corporate history. We've looked at the details of this on the channel. There were no controls put in place at FTX. There was no structure. There was no record keeping. There was no chief finance officer. A lot of money was given across to Alameda Research to invest into various crypto businesses. And the customer funds were not protected. So irrespective of whether Sam Bankman-Fried is found guilty of the criminal charges, I think what we've seen is that Sam Bankman-Fried is a very poor businessman. He doesn't know how to put a company together because all of these things are relatively straightforward if you know business. So to say that he would back Sam Bankman-Fried again seems absolutely insane from my perspective, and I think puts a question mark over the credibility of Kevin O'Leary. So does Kevin O'Leary still support crypto? Is he promoting crypto markets generally? Well, let's hear from him.
And Kevin, you said in your testimony that we need to get to the bottom of what happened at FTX, but you also say we can't let this collapse cause us to abandon, in your words, the great promise and potential of crypto. So knowing what you know now, what's your advice to those who may be considering investing in crypto but aren't super comfortable with the space?
Well, I think the lesson learned by all is that you cannot invest in an unregulated exchange or broker-dealer. That's primary number one. And so, and I must say, I sensed in the House on the floor of that Senate hearing yesterday, there's a frustration now. These leaders, these lawmakers, these policymakers have had enough of this. They don't want to keep having hearings every 6 months for the next crypto company to blow up and go to zero. So I expect to see some very swift reaction to this now that it's so in front of the public eye, and every week another billion lost. People are tired of this. There's a way to solve it. You simply regulate it the way we do stocks and bonds, and now's the time to do that.
So it seems that Kevin O'Leary is still supportive of the crypto markets, but only if they become regulated, if the regulator gets involved. Now, clearly, that is a million miles away from where we are today. There is no regulation in the market right now, and it's going to take a long period of time. And the fallout of the crypto industry is likely to happen before that. We're already seeing the contagion from the FTX collapse. It's still going on right now. There are question marks over whether or not Binance is liquid. It's reported that around $12 billion have been withdrawn from the platform over the last few weeks. And there's going to be a question at some point as to whether or not they can still fund all of those or if they'll have to freeze it. And if Binance does freeze its accounts, that will send more shockwaves through the market. So we've got a meltdown happening right now. And Kevin O'Leary is saying that, yes, I support crypto once it's regulated. But that basically is saying I don't support crypto right now because there's no regulation in place. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because this is a classic case of a conflict of interest. And the reason that a conflict of interest arose here was that Kevin O'Leary was hired by FTX as a paid representative. He was paid $18 million to promote FTX to the general community, to say what a great business it was, and to start saying how crypto was something that he enjoyed and invested into. And as part of that deal, he subsequently did put some money into crypto. It's claimed that he put $9.7 million into coins and that he had $1 million worth of FTX equity. But as we discussed earlier, that still left him with at least $4 million of clear profit. So the money that he invested into the markets was actually the money that was given to him by FTX. So on a net basis, he didn't have any personal exposure. And I think that's the fundamental issue here. He was basically paid to invest into crypto and to promote FTX. And that's entirely different from his public persona. When he's on Shark Tank, he's investing his own money into businesses because he believes that those businesses are good ideas and that they're going to be successful. And that's the problem that we got, because the general public believe what Kevin O'Leary says because he's backing it with his own money on Shark Tank. So when he comes out and starts saying FTX is a great business, you should start using it, I promote the platform, I like crypto, the general public believe Kevin O'Leary is saying that because he'd done his assessment of the market, he was putting his money in, he was putting his money where his mouth was. But as we heard from him back in 2017, he said that crypto was garbage and wasn't something that he wanted to invest into. And the only reason that he changed his mind was that he was paid $18 million by FTX. That's what we've heard directly from him today. And I think that's the big problem here. And Kevin O'Leary differs from Larry David and Tom Brady and Giselle and all the other celebrities who are linked with FTX because they didn't have any credibility in the world of finance. Nobody in their right mind is going to take investment advice from Larry David or Shaq O'Neal because they don't have any long-standing history. Kevin O'Leary is an experienced and successful investor. That's how he became famous. That's why he's on the TV, because he made all this money from doing deals. So when he comes out and says, I'm backing this, I'm investing into this business or this market, that builds other people's confidence because they think, well, he knows what he's doing. He's obviously done his due diligence. But as we heard from him in this video, very little due diligence was done on FTX. Everybody was relying upon everybody else's due diligence. There was no CFO. And his final quote in that interview was, we all look like idiots. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. It's slightly different from my usual format, but I want to mix things up a little bit and make things a little bit more fun. If you've enjoyed what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.